talked about, it's named Epiphany in the church calendar. And traditionally we do remember the visit of the Magi, or the wise men, the wise ones from the east, as we heard in our reading today. We're not told exactly where they came from, how many there were. We're not told what their names were. We're given virtually no information about them. We only know about them from Matthew's Gospel. They're not mentioned anywhere else in Scripture. They came from the east on the basis of a star rising as a sign of a child born, the King of the Jews. And they brought three different gifts which they offered to the child once they found him. And those sketchy details that we find in Matthew's Gospel have led to a range of church traditions and other ideas. So they're often talked about as three kings, and they have even been given names. Balthazar is often the king of Arabia or Ethiopia, depending on who you listen to. Melchior, king of Persia. Gaspar, king of India. And in early Christian tradition, these three kings were venerated as saints or martyrs. But there's nothing in the Bible about any of that. Magi is a term that's used to refer to the priests of Zoroastrianism, which is an ancient Middle Eastern religion in the Persia area. Maybe that's where they came from. I'll just pray before we carry on. Father, thank you for this new year of 2020 as we enter into it with you. We pray that you will bring your glory in our church this year, that you will guide us, that you will watch over us. And Lord, this morning we come to you, we want to learn from you, we want to hear your word, and we want you to speak into our hearts. So we pray you'll do that as we talk this morning, in Jesus' name. Amen. So as we set aside the non-biblical traditions and the speculation about who these people were, let's think about the experience of the people, these Magi. They must have been watching the sky, observing carefully the changes in the stars and searching for meaning and significance in those changes and movements according to their learning and their traditions. And they saw this unusual star that came up, and somehow that spoke to them about a child who had been born the King of the Jews, as Matthew's Gospel tells us. And they must have sensed that it wasn't only a king for the Jews, because they did some very significant things in response to that star and that message. They made a long journey to pay homage to this child. This was huge. To undertake a journey of many hundreds of kilometres back in those days across a harsh landscape. Maybe they used camels. Maybe they were on foot some of the way. Maybe horseback, I don't know. Maybe a combination. It wasn't like just jumping in the car and driving to Margaret River, or getting on an aeroplane and flying even to the other side of the world. It was bigger than that. They didn't even know exactly where they were going, so it would have taken them weeks. They would have had all this, you know, they needed to eat while they're on their way, of course, and drink and all of that. It was an adventure of faith. And knowing from the sign of the star that the child was King of the Jews, they made their way first to Jerusalem. And they made their inquiries. They asked around, and no one could tell them anything. They couldn't tell them anything about this child king who was supposed to have been born to be king of these people in this city. Must have been very confusing. Perhaps they felt discouraged at that point and thought about giving up. And then they received a secret invitation to the palace. Well, that would have been encouraging, wouldn't it? Secret invitation to the palace. They're looking for a prince or a king. But actually, Herod had gotten wind of their inquiries and he was frightened. What's going on? So Herod was the king of Judea, but he was an Edomite by his racial background, so he wasn't an Israelite. He had, apparently his family had converted to Jewish religion, so he was of that persuasion. But he was a puppet king put in place by the Romans. His family wasn't the royal family or anything like that. So some other guy who'd taken over prior to him was kicked out and he was put in place. It's likely that Herod was afraid because he knew the prophecies of the Messiah. He'd already reigned for some 30 years or more, and he obviously wanted to carry on with that. Wasn't ready to give it up. And perhaps he was also hoping that his children and grandchildren would succeed after him to rule. So the arrival of a Messiah would wreck those plans. But it wasn't just Herod who was frightened. If you read those lines in Matthew's Gospel, it tells us in verse 3 that all of Jerusalem was frightened. And that seems strange to me. Perhaps the people of Jerusalem were worried that the arrival of a Messiah would disrupt their comfortable Roman existence. So these people in Jerusalem were probably quite happy with the Roman rule, maybe. They were comfortable, they had lots of food, they had, you know, good things going on in their lives, and maybe this would throw things into disarray. Anyway, Herod sought the advice of the chief priests and the scribes, the Jewish leaders, to find out where the Messiah would be expected to be born. And that was before he arranged his secret meeting. So he looked into it, discovered that it was Bethlehem, where the child should be born according to the scriptures. And then he arranged his secret meeting. Presumably he didn't want anybody else to know what he was up to. So that suggests there was something a bit dark going on there. So the Magi arrived at the palace, this secret meeting they'd been summoned to, and they were told, no, this new king was not in the palace. So Magi, looking for the prince, they're at the palace. No, he's not here. You have to go to that little out-of-the-way place down the road called Bethlehem, where a few people live, and look there. And when you find out where he is, come back and tell me so I can go and worship him. Presumably they believed him, though. He wouldn't have done the winking thing. Before they left, he also found out from them the exact time of the star's appearing so that he would know how old the child was. So after they left the palace in Jerusalem, and they left Jerusalem as well, it seems from the Matthew's account that the star began to give them more information about the whereabouts of the child. So I can't understand why it didn't give them the... So they didn't have to go and see Herod. Strange. Could have taken them all the way there, and all of that trouble with Herod would have been saved, wouldn't it? The star guided them, led them to the house in Bethlehem where Jesus and his mother were. The child, who was a king, was not in a palace being attended by servants. He was in a humble house with his mother. Now, at this point, the Magi could have decided that this was all a mistake. They'd gotten the wrong end of the stick, and the star must have meant something else, but they didn't. That's good, isn't it? They were overjoyed. They knelt down before the child, and they paid him homage, and they gave him their gifts. They presented the gifts of gold and frankincense and myrrh. So after they'd worshipped him, having fulfilled the purpose of their journey, they returned home. But they did not go back to Jerusalem or to the king after they were being warned in a dream. Just have a think about that for a moment. They did what their dream said. They didn't do what the king said. How's that? It's kind of weird to think that salvation history hinged on the Magi doing that, obeying their dream, rather than obeying the king. The king could have been very useful for them, like provisioning them for their journey back and all of that, but no, they took the dream. So as we read the story and listen to the story of Herod and Jerusalem and the Magi, I had a thought about the beginning of John's Gospel. This is from John chapter 1, verses 10 through 13. He was in the world, and the world came into being through him, yet the world did not know him. He came to what was his own, and his own people did not accept him. But to all who received him and believed in his name, he gave the power to become children of God, who were born not of blood or the will of the flesh or the will of man, but of God. So Jesus was born into Israel. He was born a Jew. But he was not recognized or accepted by those in power. In fact, clearly the king wanted to get rid of him. He wasn't accepted by those who were the religious leaders. And we see more of that as his life went on. But mysterious leaders from far away came to acknowledge him and to welcome him and to accept his rule and to proclaim him king. So this acknowledgement by these Gentile believers at the beginning of Matthew's Gospel, it speaks of the significance of Jesus for all of humanity, not just for Israel. And that truth is emphasized by Matthew again at the end of his Gospel, as Jesus commands his disciples and says, "Go and make disciples of all nations." Jesus is a king for all nations. The gifts that were given to Jesus by the Magi, they speak of his identity and his ministry. So gold is often a gift for a king who would rule over nations. Frankincense speaks of priesthood. And Jesus is our, as we know from Hebrews, our great high priest who made the offering of atonement for all of humanity. And myrrh is an embalming oil which speaks of his death in sacrifice and paying the price for our sin. So it's all significance in those things that were given. His kingly rule, his efficacious priesthood, and his death in our place. Powerful reasons for us, like the Magi, to be overjoyed and to kneel down and pay him homage. So we shouldn't be like the people of Jerusalem, who were frightened when they heard that the Messiah was coming, the new child king, who might disrupt their comfortable Roman lives. Instead, we need to be like the Magi, welcoming his kingship in our lives and embracing his rule and the disruption that that brings. We can learn to be ready to go on adventures of faith, to take risks, and to invest much when we sense the leading of God, even if it doesn't seem to make any sense at the time. The Magi dared to trust in a sign and let this child king change their lives. Nothing was straightforward in their adventure, trusting the sign of a star, travelling all those dusty miles, left without an answer when they came to Jerusalem, a secret meeting with Herod, finding a baby in a humble setting. They were open to God's purpose and eager and receptive to this newborn king. And as they set off for home, God continued to be with them on their journey, guiding them away from Herod. As we think about our own lives, where do we see ourselves heading? Do you see yourself heading that way that you might have just thought about? Do you see yourself heading that way because Christ the King is leading you in your life? Or is it because you've decided you're the king in your life and that's where you're going? Or are you just too comfortable to go on any adventure anyway? Life is always going to be an adventure and only has a sure outcome if we're following after Christ. The outcome is sure if we decide that Christ is our King and that we are willing to go with him and honour and worship him with the best we have. There's no doubt our expectations of what will happen on our adventure are vastly different from what God will accomplish through us. And that's okay. God is with us and will continue to bring honour and glory to his name through our faith and our trust and our hope as we adventure to bring Christ the best that we have. Life's real adventure begins at the feet of the simple King in worship. It's here that we are changed. It's here that we find confidence and strength to step out boldly in a new adventure of faith, knowing that wherever it takes us, God is with us, guiding, leading, and bringing us safely to our eternal destination. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the stories that you give us in the New Testament, stories of faith and trust, stories of obedience. And Lord, would you help us, each one of us, to put our faith and our trust in you more completely and to follow after you in our lives, to learn what you will do with us when we put ourselves in your hands. Amen.